This morning I want to share a message with you entitled, Will You Walk Through the Gate? Will you walk through the gate? If you are a guest with us this morning, here at Emory Baptist Church on Sunday mornings, we study God's Word verse by verse and chapter by chapter. We are here this morning in the Gospel of John, and we have been in the Gospel of John for multiple months. The Gospel of John is built around what are called seven I am statements. And these are seven declarations that the Lord Jesus Christ makes where he undeniably claims to be God. And the reason that we know that he is claiming to be God is because of the name of God in the Old Testament and the language of the New Testament in which Jesus speaks and in which John's gospel was written. Previously, we have heard Jesus say, I am the bread of life. And we've heard him say, I am the light of the world. And last Sunday morning, we heard him say, I am the good shepherd. And so this morning, we're going to hear and see on the pages of Scripture this fourth I am statement. And Jesus is going to say, I am the gate for the sheep. Or your translation may say, door. And I'm going to ask you this morning, will you enter through the gate? John chapter 10, Jesus is telling an allegory. He's telling a story with a spiritual meaning. And it would have been a very familiar story to his first century hearers. It's the story of a shepherd and his sheep. And that was a very common setting and a very common scene for his first century hearers who were very well acquainted with Abraham, the shepherd, and Isaac, the shepherd, and Jacob, the shepherd, and Moses, the shepherd, and King David, the shepherd. Last Sunday morning, we concluded our time by remembering Psalm 23. And we even looked more in depth at Psalm 23 this past Wednesday night. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so understanding a little bit more about this allegory will help us to understand what Jesus is saying. In the first century, the shepherd, particularly in the summer months, the warmer times of year, would lead his flock during the day, and then at night, under the starry sky, he would stay with them in the pasture. And he would take with him what we would consider to be portable, but he would take with him a temporary fencing or a temporary pen. It might have been something similar to what we have today and think of today on construction sites that's orange and plastic and mesh, and it can be rolled out and it can be rolled up and it can be used at various places, that temporary fencing. And when the shepherd would come to the end of the day and he would establish that pen for the evening, and because the sheep knew the shepherd's voice, and he would call all of his sheep in, And they would enter the pen, and right there at the gate, right there at the door, the shepherd would inspect each sheep one by one, calling them by name. And he would take out the rocks, and he would take out the burrs, and he would take out the sticks, and he would take out the bugs, and perhaps he would anoint their head with oil if they had a wound. And once he got all of his sheep in the temporary pen, the shepherd would become the literal gate. He would lay down across the entryway, and that's where he would sleep for the night. And so if anyone came in, they would have to go through him. If any sheep wanted out, they would have to go through him. He was the gate for his sheep. And so as we think this morning about this question, will you walk through the gate? Let's look here in John chapter 10, beginning in verse 7. And I want you to see and to notice that entering through Jesus as the gate is salvation. Entering through Jesus as the gate is salvation. Look at the text. Verse 7 says, "So he explained it to them. I tell you the truth," and here's the I am statement, "I am the gate for the sheep." Verse 8, "All who came before me were thieves and robbers." All of the false prophets, all of the false shepherds, all of the Pharisees who weren't concerned about the sheep, but only concerned about themselves, Jesus calls them thieves and robbers. And his true sheep, verse 8 continues, did not listen to them. Verse 9, yes, now for the second time in today's text, "I am the gate." Or again, your translation may say door. "I am the gate." And then watch this. "Those who come in through me will be saved." Now think about this invitation. It's an invitation for us this morning. It's an invitation for you this morning. And notice that the invitation is comprehensive. It is applicable to anyone, anywhere, at any time, those who come. It's comprehensive. Notice that the invitation is also consensual. It has to be by your own choice. You will not be forced through the gate. You have to make a decision as to whether or not you will enter through the gate. But then notice the end of the verse. The invitation is certain. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. And will be safe. Say, Brother Richard, how do you walk through the gate? You admit that you're a sinner. Which is true of everyone in the room. And you understand that your sin and my sin separates us from a holy God. But we believe that our good shepherd lived a sinless life and died on the cross as the perfect sacrifice for our sin. And if we call on his name, we will be saved. Or if we will walk through the gate that is Jesus, we will be saved. And so that's an invitation that I extend to you this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, in person and online, will you walk through the gate? Because entering through Jesus as the gate is salvation. But I also want you to see something else this morning. Turn over just a couple of pages and chapters to John chapter 14. Not only entering through the gate that is Jesus is salvation, but entering through the gate that is Jesus is the only way to be saved and to have access to the Father. Let me say that again. Entering the gate that is Jesus is the only way to be saved and to have access to the Father. In the theological world, what we are talking about this morning is called the exclusivity of the gospel. That heaven and eternal life and forgiveness of sin and a relationship with God is exclusive to those who know Christ. There is no other way. Jesus says that about himself here in John 14:6. The gospel writer records Jesus' words talking to Thomas, and Jesus told him, listen to this, here's another I am statement. Jesus, again, declaring himself to be God, says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life, and no one, there's the exclusive part, no one can come to the Father except through me. So entering through the gate, that is Jesus, is the only way to be saved and to have access to the Father. But this isn't just what Jesus said about himself. This is what Peter said about Jesus as well. Turn over to Acts chapter 4. Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, in the inner three, Peter, James, and John. And here on the pages of Scripture in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John had just healed a man. And beginning in verse 8, we read, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. The man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And then underline verse 12, if you write in your Bibles, Peter said, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. It is not the name of the church. It is not the name of a denomination. It is not the name of morality. It is not the name of ingenuity. It is not the name of your family tree. It is the one and only name, Jesus. Jesus said that about himself. Peter said that about Jesus. And then the most prolific writer and the majority writer of our New Testament said it as well, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Paul wrote, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Romans 5:1. Now listen to me. If you want to be made right with God, it will not happen simply because you've been baptized. It will not happen because you think you are a good enough person. It will not happen for any other reason than your faith in Jesus. There is no other way. Although that is not the message that our world and culture will tell you this morning. As it relates to one's spiritual life, it's often portrayed as God at the top of the mountain. And if you'll just let Christians go up their side of the mountain, and Jews go up their side of the mountain, and Muslims go up their side of the mountain, and Buddhists or Hindus go up their side of the mountain, we're all going to reach the mountaintop at one point, regardless of which side we choose to climb. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, that is a lie that was first from the devil and continues to be propagated today. All of those sides do not lead to God. And by the way, any faithful Muslim or faithful Jew will tell you the same. Because they do not recognize Jesus Christ as God. So don't believe the lie that we all worship the same God. Entering through Jesus as the gate is salvation. Entering through Jesus as the gate is the only way to be saved and the only access that one can ever have with God the Father. However, entering through Jesus as the gate is not easy and is not popular. turn to one last passage of Scripture, and it is the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 are what is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is telling another story. He's telling a parable. And it has some language that we have already seen this morning. So continue to keep this question at the forefront of your mind. Will you walk through the gate? Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 13. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Jesus uses that terminology again of gate or door or path. And let's talk about the two options that he portrays in this parable. First, let's talk about this option that Jesus calls the highway to hell. He says it's broad. It's wide. You can spread out. You can stretch. Plenty of elbow room. It's easy. And its gate is wide. And the reason for that is because there are many who choose that way. It is the popular choice. The majority of people are choosing that way. But Jesus provides another option. He calls it God's kingdom. He calls it, in verse 14, the gateway to life. The gateway to spiritual life, eternal life. Notice that he says it's very narrow. It's not easy. It's even difficult, the text says. And only a few ever find it. It's not the popular choice. It's not what all your friends are doing. It's not what all your coworkers are doing. It's not what all your neighbors are doing. And here's why. Walking through the gate that is Jesus means that you have to turn from your sin and from yourself and turn to Jesus. You have to step down off of the throne of your heart. And you have to allow King Jesus to assume his rightful place. And that's not easy to do. Because we like to be in control. We like to be the master of our own domain. We like to call our own shots. But if you were to walk through the gate that is Jesus, now Jesus is the boss. Now Jesus is the master. Now Jesus is the Lord. And so it means dying to self and being made alive in Christ. And so, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, I have shared with you as plainly and as clearly and as simply as I could this morning, the invitation for you to walk through the gate that is Jesus. And in just a few moments, I'm going to invite you to publicly respond. And if you're here today, and I know for a fact that there are some here today who have never walked through that gate, I want to invite you to do it today. We're going to be standing and singing all across the room. I'm going to be here at the front. Brother Ronnie's going to be here at the front. And today, if you would put your faith and trust in Christ for the very first time, not in yourself, not in your family tree, not in your own morality, not in your own intelligence, not in your own wealth, but if you would put your faith and trust in Christ for the very first time, I'm going to invite you to step out of one of these aisles. I'm going to invite you to make your way here to the front. All you need to simply say is, "Today I want to be saved. Today I want to be saved." Brother Ronnie and I can counsel with you on how that can happen. We'd love to rejoice with you. We'd love to celebrate with you. We'd love to pray for you. But will you walk through the gate? You may be a guest this morning, and you're looking for a church home. Well, if you're going to consider Emory Baptist Church, you need to know that unapologetically, we stand on the exclusivity of the gospel. Jesus is the only way to heaven. He always has been the only way. He is the only way. He will be the only way. That is the message we preach. That is the message we share. And we do it without apology. And so if you would want to be a part of that type of family of faith, and that's where the Holy Spirit is leading you this morning, we would invite you to respond publicly to our invitation for church membership. Maybe you're here today and you are a follower of Christ, but you have never confessed Him publicly through believer's baptism. We would invite you to make that decision this morning, to follow the Lord in believer's baptism and confess Him before men as He confesses you before your Father in heaven. Will you walk through the gate? That's our invitation this morning. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? All across the room, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Again, after I finish praying, we're going to stand and sing. If you're here today and you've never walked through the gate that is Jesus to be saved, I want to invite you to respond publicly to the invitation this morning. Again, Brother Ronnie and I will be here at the front. We'd be glad to counsel with you, welcome you, celebrate with you, pray with you, rejoice with you. But no one can force you through that gate. It has to be your personal decision. We'd love to welcome guests this morning who want to unite formally with Emory Baptist Church. We'd love to welcome those who are ready to follow in believer's baptism. If you want to come here to the front just to simply kneel and pray, you are welcome to do that as well. Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful for the message of the gospel that is clear and plain. And so, Father, we extend the invitation today, calling upon you, asking your Holy Spirit to convict of lostness, to give the gift of faith, to draw men and women and boys and girls unto yourself. We pray that your Spirit would have His way during our time and in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet? Again, Brother Ronnie and I will be here at the front. Would you come today, as Brother Chris comes to lead us, to walk through the gate that is Jesus?